takes it the distance. 99 yards.
Oh!
James McKnight! Back out to Allen. His three-pointer.
Thompson loads it up. Scores! Number five for James Thompson.
Grand slam. George Springer.
Tarasi, the pull-up. He's good. And the foul.
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots.
Welcome back to the Huskies and the Pros podcast. It has been a while. It's tough in the summer, but the podcast is back. My name is Brian Dossler. I will be the captain of your ship today, as there is a lot to cover with our Huskies and the Pros. You can listen to this episode on Buzzsprout and on Spotify. The last episode that we had was an interview with Jack Simone. He's a Bulls and Celtics writer. Great episode. This was right after that the Bulls drafted or signed Adama Sanogo to an undrafted contract. Talks about how he can fit with the Bulls. Very, very good episode. You should definitely go check that out. Again, that's the most recent one, which was like July. So just disregard that. You know, it was the summer. Now hoop season is upon us. You can really feel the buzz of the season for UConn, for both the men's and women's team, and just for hoops in general. And there's a lot of action here in the NBA and WNBA with our players. So I figured let's do it. So let's have some fun today. On today's show, new and old Huskies making their debuts, training camp and NBA preseason, including Andre Jackson. If you missed his clips yesterday, go check him out on Twitter. I hear that the Forum Center, whatever the Bucks state arena is called, they're still buzzing from his couple plays. James Bouknight, he suffered a leg injury in training camp this past week. How much time will he miss? We'll dive into that. But first, we're going to start with game one of the WNBA Finals. The finals this year, no surprise, features a couple Huskies. There's three of them: Breonna Stewart, Stephanie Dolson for the New York Liberty, Kia Stokes for the Las Vegas Aces. Last night, it was all Vegas, really, in the last quarter and a half or so, as they had a big 17-point victory, 99-82. Home victory in the best of five series. Stewie did all she could, 21 points, 8 of 19 with 9 rebounds. She had a streak, I think it was between the second and third quarter, where she had 11 straight points. But other than that, like, she was really shut down in the fourth quarter, much like the rest of her Liberty teammates. Stephanie Dolson, she only played 2 minutes late in the game. And Kia Stokes, she played 22 minutes, didn't shoot a shot once, didn't attempt one shot, but had 4 rebounds, 3 assists. We've said on the pod before, and if you watch the Aces, they have scorers, right? They have Asia Wilson. They have Chelsea Gray. They have Kelsey Plum. They have Jackie Young, where they don't need Kia Stokes to be – don't need to be this big-time scorer. Think of her – she's kind of like an Andre Jackson, Draymond Green type of a role, where just really a facilitator, makes sure the offense – is kind of running. You'll see her at the beginning of possessions, at the top of the key, kind of resetting the offense, making sure it starts off right, setting high ball screens. That's her role. Extending plays with offensive rebounds. That's her role, and she has done a damn good job of it for her whole entire basketball career, WNBA career. She's going for her second straight WNBA championship, as are the Aces. Stewie going for her third, Stephanie Dolson going for her second as well. But last night, really, it was tight for the first 2.5 quarters, and then it was all Aces from there. Just the guard play of the Aces with Gray, Plum, Jackie Young. They have, can I do quick math here? They had 66 points combined, those three, and then you add in Asia Wilson's 19. Tough to win that game, especially on the road. The good news for Liberty, maybe, hopefully, is that they have not lost back-to-back games all season, although they haven't played Vegas in back-to-back games. That'll be Wednesday, 9 p.m. tip on ESPN. I wanted to mention the Aces head coach, Becky Hammon, after the game, she was asked, how do you defend Breonna Stewart and Jonquil Jones? Jones, an MVP with a son a few years ago. And her response was, quote, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, or invite your friends. So we invite our friends. Again, they did a good job on Stewie, especially in the fourth quarter, really neutralizing the front court of the Liberty. And it helped them lead to that 17-point victory. some Huskies WNBA facts. There's so many of them. Going to roll through them quickly. Yesterday marked the start of the 26 WNBA finals in league history. 23 of those 26 years has featured at least one Husky. Incredible. It goes from Rebecca Lobo in 1996 all the way to 2023 with Stewie, Stokes, and Dolson. The last time a Husky did not play in the WNBA finals was 2002. I was 7 years old. I am not currently 7 years old. And the Huskies are 33-14 in WNBA finals. So they're even dominating themselves. Obviously, when you have Maya Moore, when you have Breonna Stewart, when you have Gianna Taurasi, when you have Sue Bird on your team, it's going to help. But Husky on Husky crime, Huskies on top, 33-14. Just absolutely incredible. So, again, game two will be played on Wednesday, 9 p.m. on ESPN. And hopefully Breonna Stewart and Liberty can make it a series. I mean, this is a series, two teams that we expected all year to be Vegas and Liberty. So let's have this go five. Let's make this, you know, let's live it up to the hype. So a bounce back win in game two is pretty necessary for Liberty on Wednesday. Shifting gears over to the NBA. This past Saturday, the Hornets announced that James Bouknight suffered a left knee injury during training camp. I looked for some video on Twitter. There was none. So there's right now, do not know the severity of the injury. Bouknight, for the second straight year, is going into the season with some adversity. Last year, just 3 days before the season started, before the season over for the Hornets, he was found. Police found Bouknight intoxicated and unconscious while holding a gun in his own vehicle, and was eventually arrested on a DWI in Charlotte. You go back to UConn, his freshman year in 2019, UConn police could smell alcohol on Bouknight while driving someone else's car, currently suspended for the first three games of the season. So just another year where Bouknight, right before the season starts, obviously this is an injury, so injuries happen. The other two were you know, a situation that he was involved in, but it's frustrating. You know, on Monday, Bouknight spoke to the media, and he said, quote, starting the season off, there were times I was ready, and then there were times when I wasn't. By the end of the year, I started to hit my stride. I was able to use that as momentum and have a great summer. He certainly hit his stride last year at the end of the G League season, playing extremely well in his last G League game. He had 44 points for the Greensboro Swarm, including 11 three-pointers. Then he got called up along with a lot of the rest of the Greensboro players. Got called up to the Hornets in the final five games, averaged 13.5 points per game. There was progress. There was, okay, now Bouknight is getting his potentially getting his three-point shot. And, you know, I will say UConn Twitter, we did see him in summer league, had a lot of ups and downs there. I think his downs were hit a lot harder than his good moments in those games, because he did make some good plays for the Hornets in the summer league. But I think even Hornets Twitter, because I mean, for them, they spent a lottery pick on this guy, and he obviously has not been any what they hoped, what UConn hopes that he would be. So it's tough. Again, do not know the severity of this injury. Hopefully it's not too severe, and he can get back on the court soon. Speaking of injuries, Kemba Walker, unfortunately. So he's playing in the EuroLeague. He's playing in France. He's playing for Monaco. This was announced 4 or 5 months ago now. And their season starts up soon. I believe it's this week. But I saw on Twitter from EuroLeague that Kemba is going to miss their season opener, Monaco season opener. And it just said, from recovering from past injuries. We last saw Kemba play 9 games for the Dallas Mavericks last season, and he balled out in one game, in a game where Luka did not play. He scored 32 points in 42 minutes, 12 for 25 from the field, 4 for 13 from 3 with 7 assists. I mean, that's kind of vintage old Kemba. And then the next game he followed with 14 points, but after that all single digits, and then eventually flat out released by the Mavericks. And just from, I remember reading things back then, it just seems like he just couldn't bounce back after playing 42 minutes in that game. Again, that was against the Cavs. So, you know, if you're having a hard time recovering from nights like that, it's tough to sell you as a player on an NBA team. And it's frustrating, disappointing that he's still going to be missing at least the first game. Who knows how long of over in Monaco. Hopefully he comes back soon and gets back on the court. Anyways, let's go to some positive Husky news, right? As the NBA training camp, NBA preseason is starting to roll on. Tyrese Martin back on Wednesday, September 27th. He signed a one-year deal with the Timberwolves. Rudy Gay, he signed a one-year deal with the Timberwolves. Jeremy Lamb, on Friday the 29th, he signed a training camp deal with the Kings. We last saw him play in the 2021-2022 season with the Pacers and the Kings. Of course, he was in that trade from the Pacers to Sacramento. That's the Buddy Hield, Tyrese Halliburton trade. And again, he didn't play last year. So hopefully that year he was able to reset. And this is going to be his 10th NBA season, 10th or 11th NBA season. So hopefully he's able to find a roster spot. You know, even if he doesn't land with the Kings here, I think if he plays well in the preseason, he might have a chance to be picked up by another NBA team. The Kings, they're a team that they were the 2 seed last year. So they're already a competitive squad. So minutes might be tough for Lamb to come by, even if he does stay with the Kings. In his first preseason game last night on Sunday, 6 points, 1 for 2 from 3 for 4 from the free throw line in 7 minutes. So 6 points in 7 minutes. That's pretty good. So hopefully he can continue that play. Tyrese Martin, as I mentioned earlier, signed with the Timberwolves. It was a bit of a shock when the Hawks waived him as a fan. However, when you look from the business side, the Hawks, they signed Wesley Matthews, and that was kind of the final straw for Tyrese Martin because they cut him. Had they kept Tyrese Martin past a certain date, this was in June or July, if they had kept him past that date, they would have owed him $1.7 million. That was all fully guaranteed. Would have loved for Tyrese, for his sake, to have $1.7 million. But let's be honest, for a player that's probably going to be in your G League team, that's a lot of money. So they cut ties with Martin, despite playing well for their G League team. 18 points a game in 23 regular season games, 9.2 rebounds. He was their second leading scorer in the summer league, and there was one game where he really took over. Corey Alexander, NBA analyst on the ESPN broadcast, he was impressed. He was calling that game. I think Tyrese had 14 straight points in the fourth quarter, really took over that game and led the Hawks to the victory in summer league. And, you know, Alexander was saying this could be a guy that could be a piece for the Hawks' future, young guy, obviously. But the Hawks didn't believe so, so they let him go. With Minnesota, though, he's had a chance to go over to Abu Dhabi. That's pretty cool, over the Abu Dhabi games against the Mavericks. He did not play in the first game, but he did play in game 2, 4 points, 4 rebounds in 4 minutes. And normally that you would think that's garbage time, but in the preseason, this was a close game at the end. He played basically the last 4 minutes of the game, and it was close. The crowd was into it, and Tyrese, his 4 points came off a couple layups that were on misses, one a fast break where he hustled back and got the rebound and the putback. So, you know, hopefully he can continue and develop and impress Minnesota. We'll be keeping a close eyes on Tyrese Martin. As I mentioned, Rudy Gay, he also signed a one-year deal with the Warriors. He has a chance to compete for a spot on the Warriors regular season roster. It's been kind of a whirlwind for Rudy Gay this offseason, as his production this past season, really the last 2 years, his 2 years in Utah has really dropped down. He's 37 years old. The average career lows in points, field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage, rebounds, and minutes last year. He did miss a few weeks with a thumb injury. But obviously, you know, the Warriors, they could, I think, help with some veteran presence with the young guys. Jonathan Kuminga, he was asked after their first preseason game the other night of how Rudy Gay is kind of a role model to him, and he said he kind of eats everything up that Rudy Gay says. You know, when you play in the NBA for as long as Rudy Gay has, you have a lot of insight, you have a lot of wisdom. And Kuminga scored 24 or 26 points that game. He had a good game, and that's a promising player that the Warriors really want to get going. So Steve Kerr and the Warriors maybe not necessarily looking for a ton of on-the-court production, but he can certainly supply some off-the-court mentoring for the younger players. But I was looking at the roster, and there's not a ton of tall guys on the team. I know the Warriors haven't – look, I mean, they have Kevin Durant, but it's not like their dynasty has been because of tall guys. It's because of shooting. It's because of Klay. It's because of Draymond. It's because of Steph. But he does if he does make the team, he would be the second tallest player on the team. Tied at, he's 6'8", listed at 6'8", so is Draymond, and Dario Saric is the tallest player at 6'10", so maybe he provides some size as well. So, you know, I think my gut feeling is that Rudy will make the Warriors roster. He'll play 10 minutes a game, but we'll see. Friday the 13th, they are at the Lakers, 10 p.m. on ESPN2, and then Sunday they will be against the Kings, against Jeremy Lamb and the Kings. There'll be a 9:30 tip on ESPN. As for our rookies, last night, Adama Sunogo versus Andre Jackson, very surreal, especially when they're national champions. You know, it's like we all enjoy watching our guys playing the pros, but when they're national champions, it just hits different. In that game, Andre played 17 minutes, 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And the block was on Adama, by the way. It wasn't anything spectacular. It was rebound. Adama had it. Adama went up, and Jackson kind of tipped it. Nothing, which we don't want to embarrass our own guys. So it was a respectable block. Adama actually got the rebound and got the putback for the layup. So it was kind of a win-win for Huskies because it was good defense and it was good offense by Sunogo. But if you haven't seen the plays from Andre Jackson, he had 4 points, and both of his points were just circled with NBA Twitter. And that's what he does. That's what he needs to do. You know, I love this situation for Andre. I think if he went to a non-competitive team, it would have been much harder for him to he just has the most interesting case for how the Bucks will use him for their NBA roster. I think he will start the year in the G League. I don't see him getting a ton of minutes in the NBA. You would love to say that you want him to get better at shooting. Let's be realistic. I don't think Andre Jackson is ever going to be a guy that's going to shoot 40% on jumpers, you know, on, you know, three point shot. But what just the buzz of that building, Giannis, Dame, Jay Crowder, all super impressed. There was 2 times where Giannis, he did an impression of Andre Jackson's dunk by kind of cocking it back. And then Jay Crowder, after his finger roll, he did his own little finger roll on the bench. Obviously, these guys are laid back. They're in street clothes. They're not playing. So they're just having some fun. But I don't know. When you make Giannis smile and laugh and be like, oh, my God, you know, that's good stuff. Andre had a steal from behind that – he eventually had a nice pass, passes that we've seen a bunch of times at UConn. It's going to be a lot of fun for the NBA world to really know and watch and appreciate Andre Jackson, because he's going to make some wild plays and some energy plays. That's what his role is going to be, you know, whether it's for the G League team or for the NBA team. So I think Andre is the most interesting player to watch coming out of training camp out of all of these guys, because again, even if he goes down the G League, I don't think he's not going to improve to this, you know, lights out shooter. This, what we saw from his game in 17 minutes, is exactly what he's going to do. That's what his NBA career is going to be. It's a Draymond type. It's a Kia Stokes, as I mentioned, type, just a glue guy on your team. That's Hurley. It was able to figure out his skill set. That's a huge reason why they won the national championship. And then his UConn teammate, Adama Sunogo, 4 points on 2 of 5 shooting, 4 rebounds in 8 minutes. And, you know, Adama has an interesting situation in Chicago as well, because like the Warriors, and I know the NBA isn't built on size like it used to be, right? That's been Sunogo's. He's a traditional big, back to the basket, but not super tall, you know, listed at 6'8", 6'9". But the front court for the Bulls they don't have a plethora of guys. It's just Andre Drummond and Nikola Vucevic, and that's really it. So this is a bite back. When Jack Simone was on, I mentioned at the top of the show, I asked him, how can Sunogo carve out a role with the Bulls this season? And here it is.
You look at the Bulls roster, there's no real go-to with the third big spot. Like, it's a lot of wings. They got a lot of forwards. They got, like, some athletic guys you could probably play small ball five if that's what you want to run. But right now, and I'm gonna double check just so I don't, you know, get it wrong, but yeah, it's Vucevic, Drummond, and then they have Sunogo. There's no really other bigs on the roster. So unless those guys play 30 and 26 minutes every night, he could actually have some chances to play on the Bulls too. So I thought it was a good signing. Obviously, he's a hustle guy. He played pretty well in summer league, and I know we'll get into that, but it just seems like you bring some winning onto the roster. Obviously, they're coming off a national championship for a Chicago team that realistically probably going to be just looking to get into the play in there. And with the amount of teams competing in the East, that might even be like a goal for them rather than a guarantee. It just seemed like a good upside move. Get him in the locker room, you know, get a guy who knows winning.
So Sanogo, an undrafted free agent on a two-way deal with the Bulls. The G League is more than likely where he's going to start. So we'll see what happens there. And last but not least, Jordan Hawkins. He has yet to get his NBA preseason season going, but that will happen on Tuesday, tomorrow night, against the Orlando Magic. And Hawkins, we mentioned this before, he's coming to an organization that finished second to last in three-point attempts last season. Obviously, all great NBA teams these days must shoot the three-point shot well. So he will help Hawkins. If you take his 109 three-pointers that he made last year at UConn, that would put him at third best on the team behind CJ McCollum and Trey Murphy. And Trey Murphy, a few weeks ago, he had successful surgery on a torn meniscus in his left knee, and he is expected to be out 10 to 12 weeks. The second best three-point shooter from the Pelicans from last season, already dealing with an injury, which means more of a chance for Jordan Hawkins to get some playing time right away. Really interested to see what his minutes are going to be when the season starts. There were some games in the summer league where he, you know, just like any shooter, he had his runs and he had his hot moments and he had his cold moments. But this is a player that the Pelicans seem to really believe in. Lottery pick, obviously, 15th lottery pick in UConn history. Their GM, Trajan Langdon, he's a former three-point shooter himself at Duke, a sharpshooter. And, you know, Hawkins, obviously, out of all the rookies we talked about, has a chance to make the biggest impact right away. And again, with Trey Murphy down for multiple weeks, just gives Hawkins even more chance to make a run at it with the Pelicans. And the last note we'll get you out on this is just a reminder that Kevin Ollie is starting up his first year as an assistant coach with the Brooklyn Nets. Ollie was a finalist for the Detroit Pistons head coaching job. He did not get that, but he'll be back on the bench. So if you're watching the Nets against any of these UConn players, or if you're a Nets fan, you're going to be seeing a lot of Kevin Ollie. I would assume if he, after, I mean, he coached the overtime, the high school prep college stuff. And if he was a finalist for a head coaching job without not coaching the NBA for, you know, this being the first time coaching the NBA, I would assume at some point he's going to get a job, a head coaching job, with somebody in the NBA. I think it's a matter of time. It might be next year. It could be 2 years from now, but it would not surprise me if Kevin Ollie is the head coach for an NBA team within the next 3 years. So thank you again for listening to your podcast. Again, I'm going to try to get these uploaded on Mondays early in the week. My work schedule kind of allows that, and kind of get in a rhythm here as hoop season is set to begin. So a lot of exciting stuff. Let's go, Huskies. Thanks for listening.